I had an idea of how I was going to preach this coming in today, and it may go differently, so if I don't perfectly follow the outline, please forgive me. You know, last week as we looked at Paul, he was bold, and in his boldness, he was willing to go and to tell people in Athens exactly who God was. He was willing to say that God does not need you. It's not your prayers that strengthen him. It's not you who is giving him his power, but God is powerful because God is God. And he reminded them that because God is God, you cannot conform him to your image. God is who he is, and we must honor, love, and recognize him for who he is. He's Paul preaching in Athens, and as he's getting ready to go, he travels down to Corinth. And that's where we pick up in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. So after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them every Sabbath to reason in the synagogue, trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. The first point that I had was that God's provision begins with hardship. And we're going to go into this whole deal about how Paul has already experienced hardship, but I don't even want to mess with that. We want to get to the heart of what it is to deal with hardship. To deal with aches and pains, and to really understand how God is working in those things. I've moved all my life. The longest I've ever been any place is right here with you guys. And I know what it is to develop friendships, to connect with people, and it's gone. I know what it's like to think about and wonder how everyone's doing, to not be. I'm just not the kind of person that does well with phone calls, emails, things like that. It's stuck in the life. I'm trying to call a friend of mine who left to Baltimore, and we talked once. He's been gone for a month. And I think about it. I think I need to call Toby, and I don't. And I know what it is to wish that you could just stay. I always had this kind of dream in my mind, like this awesome place where everybody I love all gets to come to one place, and everybody's there, nobody's separated, and then I could start introducing people. You know, all those people, you ever had that feeling when you live someplace like, oh, you would love so-and-so. You would love, you would connect so well with that person. And I've always had this dream that I would love to just have this all just kind of stick together and have all the people I love in one place and that we'd all just be able to know each other and have a relationship with each other. Our world doesn't work like that, does it? Our world doesn't give us the opportunity to stay always in the places that we want to be there. It forces us to move. It forces us to change. And I can't even imagine what Aquila and Priscilla must have felt like, knowing that the only reason that they're being run out of town is because of their heritage. They had the misfortune of being born of a Jewish heritage. They've been run out of town. They built relationships. They built jobs. They built communities. They built everything that you would want in life. And now all of a sudden, they're being told, go up, go out. You don't belong here. You don't have a right to be here. Go find someplace else to live. I can't even imagine what it would feel like have somebody tell me, John, you can't stay here. Get out. You don't belong. And then I go and set up my life someplace else. It's not as good. Hey, it's the capital of the whole world. It's not about being a craft in Rome. Man, you would probably need a lot of money. They were living well. And Corinth isn't bad, okay? I mean, it's a commercial city, but so Rome. And so they have to go to this place, and they have to try and get established, and they have to try and figure out their job, and where they're going to set up, and make tents, and how they're going to get it all to work together. And then, on top of that, here's this guy that shows up, Paul. And he says, hey, here you guys are tent makers. I need a job. I don't have any money. I'm in a hard spot. I need somebody to help me out. I don't know about you, but my mind that's not instantly like, oh, no, come on in, Paul. Let's get you set up, pal. We're gonna help you, and you can use our tools and all of the things that we have gathered that we know you don't have. Come on in. Because my first thought, what about me? I've lost everything. Don't you know what I've gone through, Paul? I lost my home. They didn't stop by choice to kick me out. They took my livelihood. They took the things that I had established. And here I am now in Corinth having to rebuild my world. And you want me to do what? You want me to give you a job? You want me to allow you to work here? It's crazy. It doesn't even seem to make sense. But one thing that we know about Priscilla and Aquila is that they love God. And that's the starting place. That's the starting place for each of us. When we love God, He starts to help us to see the world differently, doesn't he? He says some crazy stuff. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face various trials of many kinds, because you know that the passion of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Are you nuts? My world is collapsing around me. Everything that I love is falling apart. Are you telling me to find joy? The dream is explaining himself. Let me just say it. It tells us that everything that we go through is something that God is using to help us to grow, to persevere, to find a strength in Him. So when people love the Lord, they're able to look at the world in a different way. And so instead of looking and saying to Paul, like, look, we got our own problems now. You deal with your problems, we'll deal with our problems. Sorry. The love of God is there something was happening inside of him that said, no, I'm going to honor God in this moment. I don't understand myself. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. Why do I have to go down this path? Why do I have to? I don't know. But I know that God's doing something. That He's working to make me mature and complete. Power in trusting in the Lord. And the second point is trusting in God leads to deeper faith. Now I want to point something out to you guys. If you read through this passage in Acts 18, it doesn't say that Aquila and Priscilla were believers. it doesn't tell us with all certainty that they were, in fact, believers. Now, there's differing views on why that is. Some believe, which I kind of almost tend to be listening to myself, that it's basically pointing out that they're Jews because of the fact that that's why they were run out of town. They weren't run out because they were Christians. They were run out because they were Jews. But it is still entirely possible, because it doesn't say that Paul went to them as fellow believers, that they didn't come to faith yet, not to a full faith in Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. It doesn't really matter. Because in the law, when God was telling his people how to treat each other, he said this in Leviticus 25, verses 35 through 38. If any of your fellow Israelites become poor and are unable to support themselves among you, help them if you were a foreigner and stranger, so they can continue to live among you. Do not take interest or any profit from them, but fear your God, so that they may continue to live among you. You must not lend them money at interest or sell them food at a profit. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. You see, by being willing, by having a heart to trust that what God was doing was going to provide for them, it didn't matter yet whether they had a complete understanding of who Jesus was. They loved God enough to say, no matter what the trial, no matter what the circumstance, I am going to move in His direction. I don't believe that Priscilla and Aquila had any idea when they said yes, move into our home, come, work with us, what a blessing they were receiving. I don't think they understood, even if they were believers, what a blessing it was going to be to work alongside Paul. That Paul was going to walk beside them. And, you know, anything that we see from the Word of God is true. We see that the Apostle Paul could shut up about Jesus, amen? It's all he talked about. It's all he could think about. It was the most important thing in the world. And so you can imagine that you're sitting there making this, that Paul is reading to them out of the Scriptures, that he's teaching them about the Messiah, that he's working and helping them to grow so that they can reach a place where they will be effective in the work that God has for them. You know, one of the things that stands out to me as I look at this, and as I read through it, is the simple fact that there are people like that today who need Jesus. They are people who live good lives. There's a lot of people out there that want to honor God. They want to serve Him. And they look and they're like, yeah, I believe there's a God out there, but I'm not sure who He is. I'm not really sure what it's all about. People you work with, people who you walk alongside every day, that maybe want to honor God, but they don't know how. And just like the Apostle Paul, you have the opportunity to walk alongside them. Maybe there's people that are around you in life who have been suffering. They're in pain. They don't understand why. You don't know if they're sitting in the corner or questioning why all these things were happening, why they were put in this position. But God chose Paul to be there with them. He used Priscilla and Aquila as a sort of blessing for Paul, but Paul was a blessing for them as well. He was teaching them, developing them, helping them to grow in their faith. And you have that opportunity every day to walk along someone, serve someone. We don't all have them. But you said, I don't have all these. But you said, hey, I'd love to be able to tell you things in your life, everything that happened in your life. But I can tell you this. I love you. God loves you. But God is good. And He wants to do good things in your life. to tell you that even though I will not see God with my eyes, I see God in you. I see God in the way that you love each other. I see God in the way that instead of judging and criticizing people who are growing, you embrace them. Lift them up in a big hug and you love them through their difficulties. Paul was in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 20, says, therefore, if there is anyone in Christ, the new creation is come. The old is gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. For God was reconciled by reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He was committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, and so God will make his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. All this is belief. It wasn't Sunday evening. It wasn't something that came up around Christmas or Easter. Every day of his life was Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the power of resurrection that comes through Christ. Paul got to be an ambassador to Aquila and Priscilla. So you get to be an ambassador to everybody that you meet. Once you become believers, this is it. This is what we're about. Reconciling those who are lost. Some of you may be thinking, well, I've come up short. I am not being the ambassador that God would want me to be. I failed to say this or to say that. I came up short and I just wish I had done things differently. That's wrong. You too. About you. I don't know what you think it is. It's not about you. It's about what God is. It's about trusting in who He is and what He can do. Putting our faith in Him to do the things that we wanted to talk to this person about and didn't, and wanted to do this or that and it didn't work out, and okay, I hear you. I've had loved ones that passed on and I'm not sure where they are. Do you know what I'm sure about? God is good. And I trust that He will do what's right and just. Trust in His word. I trust that God, the God of justice and love, and that it is not on us what other people choose. He gave them His word. But the beautiful thing to me about this is that Aquila and Priscilla, as they learn from Paul, we see the really awesome blessing. If you look at Acts 18, verses 24 through 26, it says, meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and thought about Jesus accurately. Though he knew only the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Isn't that something? All that time, working, sitting, listening, it made a difference. because when Apollos comes, now Apollos is going to be a great leader. This guy is going to be super important. I mean, you hear him written about in the books of Corinthians. He's going to be an amazing evangelist and someone who boldly speaks the gospel message. But he's missing. He's missing a piece of truth that is absolutely vital to what God is trying to do. I'm trying to decide if this is worth getting into today. Yes. I think that was the issue for Apollos, and he said he was coming from John's baptism. So here he is, he's learned about Jesus through John the Baptist, and he's gone around and he's been teaching things from the same perspective as John the Baptist. And so when we look at John the Baptist's baptism, what we see is that it is, in a lot of ways, very similar to Christian baptism. It's very much a purposeful thing. In Mark chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." And so we start to look at it, and it seems very much like the Christian baptism that we see today. If you saw John's baptism, it would look very much like what we do. But there was something that was missing out of that baptism. You see, baptism is the place where Christ meets us. You see this in Romans 6, verses 1 through 6, that we die with Christ, we're buried with him in baptism, and we rise again to a new life. And that in that baptism, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:38, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." These are things that God is doing inside of us. And so, even though Apollos was teaching truth about Jesus, he was missing the point that we have to have the Holy Spirit. We have to be healed from within with the Holy Spirit to see things. And we know that's true because we've watched it happen, haven't we? We've seen people go from one person to another after the watery grave of baptism because there's a new creation being restored. Now, some teach that there's two separate baptisms. They teach that there is a spiritual baptism that happens first, and then they teach that after that, that there is a physical baptism, which is an outward sign of what already happened on the inside. But the one question I want to ask about that line of thinking is this: in Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, it says there is one body and one spirit. You were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, I want you to look, bring the passage back up for me. I want you to look at this passage. Nobody would question that there's one body, amen? There is one body in Christ Jesus. Nobody would question that there is one Spirit, right? There is one Holy Spirit. Nobody would question that there is one hope. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." There was one Lord, one faith. We would all agree on these things. Even when we get to one baptism, all of a sudden, it's what? A spiritual baptism? That confuses me because when I read Acts chapter 8, verses 34 through 38, it tells me that the Ethiopian eunuch, when he was preached the gospel message and thought about baptism, he didn't say, "Goodness, I've been saved." He said, "Here is water. What stops me from being baptized?" Why? Why would he ask that? Because it's all happening in one place. But it's not the water that's magical. I know that there's holy water in Catholicism, and it's not the water that's magical. But what's happening in there is something spiritual. We are being immersed, and the Holy Spirit is coming to indwell us. Jesus himself said he gave us through baptism. In Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes not will be condemned. This baptism was important enough that Priscilla and Aquila had to make sure that Apollos understood what it was. Because it's the point of grace. It's the point at which God steps in and says, I'm cleansing you of your sins. I'm washing it all away. It's gone. To be no more. You know, I seriously doubt that Priscilla and Aquila at the time that all of this was going down was thinking, that's going to help us to prepare one of the greatest evangelists of our generation. I seriously doubt that they thought when they were giving up their home and moving and having to rearrange their lives that they thought to themselves, thanks God, we're going to move and use me to do something powerful. It hurts when we're going through a thing. It hurts when we're listening. And we don't understand. But the Bible promises this, that God is good. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of all. It's okay to hurt. It's fine. You'll hurt. But trust. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. He will be with you. We have to always remember the bigger purpose. God is going to take everything, whether man-made or bad choices of other people, or whether circumstances, he's going to take all those trials and hardships, and he's going to use them to grow you, to nurture you, to develop you into exactly who you need to be. The key is it starts with faith. Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe he is working everything out for your best interest? If you believe that, you can do anything, can't you? You can overcome anything. So in the core of that time, they trusted in the Lord and the work that he was doing, and God used them to do mighty things. Do you think you're any different? Do you think you're any less valuable? Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you now, and Lord, we've got some real hurt going on. We've got some real pain and sorrow. We've got some aching in our heart. We're wishing that things could be different, but our world is what it is. I love the fact that you use Quilla and Priscilla so effectively. You show us that in the midst of hardship, when we put our faith in you, that you bring blessing. Jesus, you brought Paul into their life to be an encourager, comfort, and strength. The way that we use them to care for each other and to help each other get through the hard times that we were facing. It's powerful, Lord. It's one of the most powerful things I've read in a long time. Lord, give us the strength to trust and to have faith in you. That even in the midst of our grief and our sorrow and our questions and our doubts, that ultimately you are good and that you love us. Help us to realize the love of your Son. That no matter what we give up on this life, on this earth, that you have done something much more powerful. He's given us something much more than we could ever imagine in letting his son go to that cross. Help us to be a people who recognize and appreciate the value of what you've given us. And Lord, if we're just as you have shown in this passage, just as Priscilla and Aquila have to help Apollos better understand what you intended. I'm thankful, Lord, that we know that your son died on the cross and that we could join him in the watery grave of baptism. That your spirit will indwell us and will give us the strength when we trust in you to change us, create a new person, to allow us to be your ambassadors, people that can move in this world. Lord, for those who haven't made the decision yet to put you on in baptism, to surrender their will to you, to put their full trust in you, to heal them, I pray that they make that choice today. I pray that they don't hesitate, that they don't wait, but as we've seen, I believe in number. No man knows the day of the Lord. I pray that there's anyone here who needs to make that choice, that they'll make it today. And Lord, I just pray for your comfort for those who are hurting. I pray that you will help them to endure the hardship, that they're facing, trusting in you, knowing that you are going to do great things, to bring them comfort and peace. And Lord, help us as a body to love each other and to encourage each other, so that no one here ever doubts that they are loved. Thank you for all these things.